Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Sarah Perriott and Josie McGibbon, who co-wrote Descendants, the new Disney TV movie. Well, I am so excited to talk to you both. I thought the movie was so adorable. I loved it. My little boy came in while I was watching and he's five. He was so intrigued, and there's just so much action and so much fun happening. How did you guys... Yeah, it was just, it's so cute. I loved it. I can't wait to see it again. How did you guys get this? Was this your idea or was this an assignment? Can you tell me how you got connected with the project?
Well, our old assistant became an executive, Corey Marsh became an executive at Disney Channel. And he kept saying, will you do a project? Will you do a project? And they kept saying, no. And then he said, we want to do a school about the Dylan kids. And we said, that one we'll do. So that's about as much as we were given.
They had in mind that it's just, you know, that it's a school, where a high school where all the Dylan kids go. And we kind of went off with that and came back and said, what if, instead of it being just the fun of Dylan kids, that, you know, we were trying to figure out, well, where's the inbred conflict to that? You could see where the fun is, but, you know, and that sounded more like a TV show than a movie to us. And so then we said, well, what about the idea that this is a pilot program to let four Dylan kids into the school with the hero kids? And happily, they leapt at it. And so we were off and running. And we were really thrilled because this is the first project the Disney Channel's had where they used the old, you know, heritage characters from the great animated movies.
Yeah, I loved that so much about it because you know a little bit about those characters, but you're so intrigued, you want to know more, and then also the kids, it just adds the curiosity, but also this element where it's familiar, but it's also a little bit exotic in a way. I think that's such a good mix, especially when you're...
It was interesting. They were very conscious about wanting to inform the younger generation of the older Disney characters, because some of them may not be aware of Little Mermaid, though it's hard to believe, but they really want to make sure that the younger generation was completely invested in all those characters that they had so carefully, you know, creatively made.
I think that's so great. And there's some blurred lines between, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. I thought that was what was so interesting about it, because you sort of want to root for everyone, or you make the characters in such a way that you can, they're relatable and likable, and you're rooting for kind of both sides. How did you guys structure that? That seems so tough to do, especially for a beginner out there just wanting to learn.
When we watch it now, it seems like these were obvious choices, and yet when we remember how long it took to land on them, they were really hard, and including what on earth is the world that has all of these characters living at the same time and knowing each other? You know, is it Europe? I mean, you know, where are we? You know, and what's happened that everybody is a contemporary? So that was one sort of huge decision, and the other biggest decision was, are these kids bad or are they good? You know, are we going to have all of the kids at the hero school be mean to, you know, to this underserved community? You know, no, we don't want all the good kids to be bad and all the bad kids to be good. So it was really trying to find where is our story going to be, and the fun of these kids don't know anything but evil in a way, and they've been raised like little savages, and if they go in with some evil intent, can they meet kids who are both good and bad, and, you know, can that transform their point of view?
I think it's a great message, too, because, you know, kids mess up, and they feel like, oh, I'm just bad now, and maybe that's a way they can... You know, not they can really see, like, oh, there could be two sides to this. That was, for me, a great thing to take away from it.
Yes, but I mean, that everybody struggles and has to make choices between good and evil all the time, and it really is something to be aware of, and that you can choose good.
That was so cool.
Yeah, and also, it's an interesting thing to navigate, that without wanting to send the message of everyone should rebel against their parents' values, but to be able to show explicitly, you know, so we were really curious, well, how are the parents, you know, how are the parents going to take this, and there's been focus groups, et cetera, and happily, you know, it seems that we were okay, we damped that line okay, that the message is more choose good, obviously, not just choose whatever your parents aren't, you know.
I noticed you also use comedy, though, in case it gets too serious, especially Maleficent is kind of funny in a way. So you're thinking it's lighthearted, so it's not as I didn't even think about how kids would want to rebel against their parents, and that's exactly what I don't want my own kids to do to me. And so it didn't even really enter.
Right.
I wasn't concerned at all watching it that would happen. I thought, you know, did the comedy help balance that, you think?
Well, I think so, and also that there wasn't an aggressive message against the parents. It was really more about their inner choice rather than against, we choose who we are going to be, not like we're rebelling against our parents. So I think it was like skewing the message that way. And of course, humor always helps with everything. It keeps everything lighthearted. But that was hard to find, too. At first, we had a scarier Maleficent, and then we began to make Kristen Chenoweth was cast. She's so funny and great. That character really evolved to be far more lighthearted and funny.
Okay.
And we also, you know, the characters, by and large, have affection for their parents. Least would be Carlos, because his mother really is sort of a straight-on, meanest one. But that even at the end, that when Maleficent is transformed, that Mal still cares what happens to her. That it's not, you know, as Sarah said, a full-out rebellion. One of the interesting things about using humor is how much license was it okay to take with the classic character, you know? So there are people in every corner of the Disney empire who are watching out for different things and not wanting to just lampoon some of these great villains. And so everything is always a balancing act. And then you're just happy when it's done because you don't have to talk about it anymore.
that is so fun. Could you talk a little bit about your process? Like, so you got, they gave you this idea, then you kicked around like how you would tackle it. How long does that take to do an outline, or do you sit in the same room together, or just curious how partners work and what it really takes and as far as time and commitment to get to the finished product? Because it looks so easy once you watch the movie.
We came up with different story approaches for Disney, and finally we landed on the one. So we worked hard on just coming up with the plain, simple story of going and getting the one. And that is, Josie and I found that to be so difficult, to find a very simple thing to grab onto that you know, everybody can keep in their mind and keep engaged. So that was difficult to come up with, and we finally did. Once we get the story, then yes, we do an outline for them, and then it moves into a draft.
And for Sarah and me, we've been writing together for 30 years, actually, last month, and so we are a well-oiled machine. We do all of the story work together, usually in a room, although we are now enjoying FaceTiming a little more. I mean, it's pretty great. But so that part we'll do completely, talking through every point. And then once we are approved and go write the draft, we split up the scenes. And then we're just each taking 2-3 days worth of work, going off, doing that, keeping in touch with each other the whole time and blending it, and then sort of rewriting ourselves and each other in clumps. And so the actual first draft is really written half and half.
So it's like you one person just has the document and you're getting through as much as you can, and then you pass it back. And then that other person looks over your scenes.
We can work on each of our, no one will have a master document, but You know, you may pull a bunch and do your scenes and say, you know what, I'm going to rewrite that section. You just keep, you know, the wonders of computers and the software programs. You can blend and pull and put back. So it's pretty cool.
So then, wow, it's awesome. It's just always so interesting to me how partners work together and how you can just manage everything with the notes and the characters and also the tone of the writing. How do you handle notes? Do you get the, if you could just walk me through that process, especially for a beginner, how you get a note.
I handle them with grace and humor. We are really pretty fine with notes. Typically, we are very selective about what we push back on, and because we pretty quickly get a credibility with our executives. And so I think that's sort of the secret to our 30 years of doing this, is that we are very accommodating, but also not complete, but we're not just wimps about it. So we just always look at them as a puzzle to be solved, and especially with something like the Disney Channel, where they know their brand, and we are not in the position to say, oh, I think you should push the humor here, and or I think it could be this edgy. I mean, that's not our decision to make, you know, and so we're respectful of that. But in terms of a story point, or I don't think anyone's ever going to understand that, we might really pick and choose our battles where we're saying, oh, please give it to us, you know, let us. You know, we'll do those 9 out of 10, but give us this one, you know. That works out pretty well.
Are you ever stumped by a note? Like, I've heard people say there's a note beneath the note. You know, someone says something's wrong with the script, but maybe it's something else. How do you work through an issue like that?
It's common there's a note behind a note where someone's having trouble and they continue to have trouble with something, and then you just talk it through, you know, with them and between the two of us until we find the note behind the note, which might be, you know, they might just be saying, I don't like this person, I don't like this character, I don't like this character, and you know, and you'll find out that it's something more structural, or if you put this over here, that would solve the problem for them. And it actually, I mean, a wonderful executive is someone who really knows what precisely the problem is in a scene or with a character. But that's kind of rare. Mostly you get a lot of notes that add up to something that we understand as the larger note.
I think what's interesting is that term now, the note behind the note, is so common that we've had now executives saying to us as they go on about a note, that they themselves will say, look, the note behind the note is just like, oh, I guess you know what we're saying. That's, you know, and they supply it, and they're looking for it themselves, you know, and we have had good luck with executives on this project, and whom we were very compatible with, and of course one of them being our old assistant, so that's always fun. You know, the guy who used to not clean up the Coke cans after a meeting is now giving us notes, so that's, you know, the world moving on.
That is so great, and I guess it's all about relationships. That's what they say in Hollywood. We only have a few minutes left, but I have to ask you about some of your other movies, because I'm such a huge fan of Runaway Bride. It's just one of my favorite films. And I just wanted to talk to you about your favorite movies that you guys have done together, and like looking back on them. Are you doing any 30 years celebration? You should, because you have such a great library.
Yeah, it's called Descendants is our 30-year celebration. I mean, the timing has been amazing, and all of a sudden to have something that's such an exciting project, and we love how it came out. We're so proud of it, and, you know, and so that's, I can't think of a better celebration than actually having something made. And
yeah.
You know, that's a blast. I think our favorite project, this may be our favorite project now, we're so proud of it, but it certainly was the Starter Wife, the miniseries and the series that we did. We that was such a glorious experience for us, and venturing into the television where the writer has so much more control and influence, and we were so ready for that. So that was both our favorite experience and probably our favorite product.
Well, what is something you'd like to do next? You have, I'm sure you have other projects going, but is there like a genre or a tone? Like this fantasy world is just so cool, especially how you tackled it. What is something that you guys, you know, have you want to do in the future?
Well, we stick our oar in many waters, and we actually like a variety. I mean, it was fun to do fantasy and that audience. You know, our wheelhouse is usually the dramedy type of starter wife, runaway bride thing, and we always love those projects. But, you know, the call for the need for those or the desire for those ebbs and wanes with the years, and when those come back in again, it's like, woohoo, we're going out and something. Women saying funny things to each other, you know. Those are our favorite things.
Yeah, we have a pilot that we love, that E! Entertainment, we're hoping that would go, and we have a show on the air again, and of course we're hoping for a sequel to Descendants, which would be a blast to write these characters again.
So. Oh my gosh, there has to be more. It's so fun, and there's just so many
there
ways to go. You could do like a
there
movie.
Has to be more. Now this is when we really want the time machine, so we can just see what is that next story, because it's so hard thinking of it. So it's like, just tell us what it is. We can write it.
That's
once
great.
Again, looking for that simple through line, like get the wand to bring it back. You know, I think we're at that stage now with what's the simple through line that will be satisfactory to everyone.
That's so great. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. I hope I talk to you again for the next one.
Thank you.
And
thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. So take care.
You too. Thanks. Lovely speaking with you.